about their loved ones. They knew that the church was a refuge of peace, which was availed of by many people for quiet prayer and reflection. Of course, despite a security camera, there was the possibility that somebody could take advantage of that to enter and desecrate the building. But that, I'm glad to say, never happened. Now, I should emphasise at this moment, in fairness, that the circumstances in Newton Ards were different from those here at St. Columba's. The church there is on a busy road near the centre of the town with considerable footfall, and the entrance to the building is visible to everybody leaving the hospital. It was important that people felt that they could go to the church when they wished, regardless of whether they were parishioners or not. Like any chaplain, priest, or minister, much of my time with patients was spent listening to them, including their concerns, and where appropriate, praying with them and with their families. They expressed many worries and many concerns. Perhaps it was about the impending operation and its outcome. Maybe they were worried because they knew that recovery was unlikely. They spoke about their families and the concern they had that their jobs and employment could be in jeopardy. In response to all that, I very seldom suggested to them that they shouldn't worry, because I knew that their concerns were very real. Now, you may be wondering, or indeed perhaps you have concluded very quickly, why I am focusing on chaplaincy and patient concerns this morning. It has been prompted by the Gospel, which includes some verses from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Do not be anxious or worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." You know, at first glance, this may seem to be some pie-in-the-sky advice. Don't worry. We may concede that worry doesn't do us any good, but for almost everybody, it is very, very real at some time or another. So the question arises, what are we to make of today's gospel passage and the injunction, "Do not worry"? To answer that question, we have to understand how the audience to whom Jesus was speaking would react. It was the teaching of the rabbis of the time that believers ought to meet life with serenity and trust. They taught, as did Jesus, that worry is essentially distrust of God. Believers should not or cannot worry because they believe in the love of God. Jesus taught that worry evaporates when God becomes the dominating power of our lives. Do not be anxious. But to quote the words of Jesus that influenced the composing of a song, "Do not be anxious, but seek you first the kingdom of God, and your concerns will be shown to be without justification." Now, I have to admit that I have met people with that approach to life, and I am quite frankly in awe of their faith and the tranquil way in which they face crisis after crisis in their lives. I think the gospel song, "Teach me to live one day at a time, sweet Jesus," sung by Patsy Cline and others, may contain that sentiment. It reflects the advice of Jesus that we should handle the demands of each day as it comes without worrying about the unknown future and the things that may never happen. In a sense, and I think most of you will agree with me, worry is useless and often contributes to physical and emotional illnesses. Two typical diseases of modern life are stomach ulcers and coronary thrombosis. In many cases, they are the result of worry. Worry can affect a person's judgment. Worry can lessen the powers of decision. Worry can make one incapable of dealing with life. So the lesson of life, in a sense, is that worry is futile. In extreme cases, it may require medical treatment. A well-known passage in the book of Isaiah the prophet states that, and I quote in the old authorized version, "Thou hast kept the man in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." So ideally, anyway, we should take no anxious thought for tomorrow. There's one particular story about a woman who got fed up with her husband's constant worrying. She asked him, "Why are you worrying when it doesn't do any good?" To which he replied, "Oh yes, it does me good, because 90% of the things about which I worry don't happen." Fundamental to Christianity is the belief that whatever we face, we do not need to face it alone. That necessitates the building up of a relationship with God. Part of that relationship is achieved by prayer. St. Paul's letter to the Philippians advises us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving to present our requests to God. However, in drawing attention to those words, we mustn't see God as a kind of what I'll call cosmic slot machine, churning out instant solutions. Being a Christian does not make worry disappear, but it can help us to see a new way of dealing with difficult situations. Being part of a church community, as most of you are here, can help in that respect, as we share concerns quietly and maybe confidentially with the still small voice of God. The Sermon on the Mount from which today's Gospel is taken could be thought of as a Christian manifesto for life. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has troubles of its own. To quote a few words from a hymn, "Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, we have God with us." And so, while acknowledging that worry and anxiety are human characteristics, perhaps we should listen to our Lord's advice to fear not. For in the words of the Christian mystic, Mother Julian of Norwich, and I've quoted these words and many of you know them well, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And so to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son has worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Let it be a beacon of hope in troubled times, encouraging all to love and respect, not just our fellow Christians, but those of all faiths and none. Help us as your church to proclaim your values through our lives and use our God-given talents for the common good. Renew the life of this diocese, and we give thanks for all who serve, whether through choirs, Sunday schools, select vestry, or any of the many other activities which bring a church and diocese to life. Bless John, our Archbishop, David, our Bishop, our clergy, John, Ken, and Walter, and build us up in faith and love. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the way of justice and of peace, and bless Charles our King and all in authority. We bring before you the people of Turkey and Syria, who have endured so much in the recent earthquakes. Be alongside them and give them the strength to endure what lies ahead. We pray too for the aid workers and all who labour to relieve suffering. We remember all in areas of unrest, thinking especially of Ukraine. Guide those in positions of leadership throughout the world to strive for what is just and proper, and to leave aside personal interest and prejudice, and work towards a world free from hunger and war. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We give thanks for all that we have here in Knock, the wonderful and varied countryside, and all the amenities on our doorstep, including the businesses, care homes, hospitals, the schools. Bless all who work in our local community. We are mindful, though, that there are many in need, fearful of how they can pay the next bill and relying on food banks. Those that are homeless, those without hope, help us to do what we can to help those in need. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are suffering. Be with those who have any special need, and deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Let those who are in pain or who are anxious know your presence and be uplifted by your love. We give thanks for the National Health Service and ask that you support those who care, the healthcare professionals, families, and friends, that they may carry out their role competently and with compassion. And we pray too for all those who work in medical research as they use their skills to find new treatments and cures for disease. Lord of eternity, Lord, we give thanks for the lives of those who have died and gone to be at peace with you in your heavenly kingdom, thinking especially of the family and friends of Barbara McNeil. Comfort those who mourn, that they may find solace in you and strength to face the future. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, for you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand for peace. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.